Does America have Christian roots, and does it matter? Christian radio host Bob Dutko writes that we do, and it does. He says, and I quote, America truly has a Christian heritage, but most of these facts are now being censored in our history books. End quote. For example, he goes on to say, did you know separation of church and state is found nowhere in the Constitution? The U.S. Capitol building was converted to a church service every Sunday morning. Washington, D.C.'s worship team Sunday mornings was the U.S. Marine Corps Band. Congressional declarations actually called for Christianity to be spread all over the earth. The first U.S. Supreme Court opened with a four-hour prayer and communion service. The Bible was a required reading textbook in the public schools. End quote. Again, from Bob Dutko. We could go on and on. What I've been reading from are portions of a series of CDs called Top 10 Proofs. This particular episode is called the Top 10 Proofs for America's Christian Heritage. And that's what we're going to focus on in this discussion. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And Bob Dutko, a popular radio host in Michigan, has created this Top 10 Proofs series. And we welcome Bob to the program. Bob, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you, Jerry. Great to be with you.
Sure. Now, we're going to focus on the Christian heritage of America, but just so we get an overall perspective, these top 10 proofs, you go into several different subjects. I understand there's 14 such sets of proofs. In the example of the Christian heritage, there are two CDs found in that particular set.
Yeah, that's right. There's a lot of different topics. It's basically an effort to teach Christians how to, as 1 Peter 3:15 tells us, always be prepared to give an answer when someone asks for the reason for the hope that you have, but to do this with gentleness and respect. And America's Christian heritage is one of them. But there's topics like top 10 proofs the Bible is true, top 10 proofs for the resurrection of Jesus, top 10 proofs evolution is scientifically impossible. And so just a lot of different questions that sometimes Christians have difficulty answering the skeptics on. And so what I do is I document and research all of the publicly available information to prove all of this is true. And then I just kind of compile it together in the Top 10 Proof series.
And I understand the series has even been endorsed by Dr. James Dobson. Tell me, though, what was the first of these? What was the genesis of the whole series? And then again, we'll focus in on the Christian heritage.
Sure. Well, really, for me, I've always had a passion for apologetics. I mean, when I was saved at age 19, I was still kind of a post-saved skeptic. It's like, how do I know that all this stuff is really true? And so that kind of headed me down the path of researching and studying, and I wanted to be able to back up with my left brain the decisions that I made as a Christian. And so that's when I just started researching and studying. And I just, over the last, really, Jerry, like 35, 40 years, I've pretty much learned that, wow, we've been lied to about a lot of different things. And the Christian heritage of America is one of those things. We've been convinced that our founding fathers believed that there's supposed to be this mythical separation between church and state, and that the U.S. government's not supposed to be promoting or endorsing or encouraging Christianity. And that's just flat out not true. The evidence that's in Washington right now, it's in the National Archives in Washington, D.C., and the Library of Congress, proves that our founding fathers believed in just the opposite. They believed in a blending of church and state, a promoting and encouraging of Christianity, but that's the information censored from school American history books, unfortunately.
You know, as you're saying all these things, I can think of just one quick example. This is real, you know, maybe it seems trivial, but if you go to the Lincoln Memorial and then you look on one side where they have these panels, engraved in stone are some of the key speeches of President Lincoln, including the Gettysburg Address and his second inaugural address. And in that second inaugural address, there's at least three Bible verses. Now, he didn't say Matthew such and such and Micah so and so. He just said the verse, and most of his hearers would have known he's just quoting scripture. There's other examples of God mentioned in stone around D.C., aren't there?
Oh, there certainly are. As a matter of fact, if we go back to the very first United States Congressional Proclamation of Thanksgiving. I just want to read to you, Jerry, very briefly from the, this is November 1st, 1777. It's the first United States official proclamation of Thanksgiving. And you would think this was written by a pastor. Listen to what they said, quote, "It is therefore recommended to the legislative or executive powers of these United States to set apart Thursday, the 18th day of December next for the solemn thanksgiving and praise, that they may join the penitent confession of their manifold sins, whereby they had forfeited every favor, and their humble and earnest supplication that it may please God through the merits of Jesus Christ mercifully to forgive and blot them out of remembrance." And then it finishes, "So necessary for cultivating the principles of true liberty, virtue, and piety under his nurturing hand, and to prosper the means of religion for the promotion and enlargement of that kingdom which consisteth in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost." Okay, I'm not reading a transcript from a pastor's sermon. I'm reading the United States Congress in their first official proclamation of Thanksgiving. This is how our United States government used to talk. As a matter of fact, they issued a proclamation of Thanksgiving on October 18th, 1780, where it says that our purpose is to, quote, "cause the knowledge of Christianity to spread all over the earth," end quote. Now, people don't have to take my word for it. Look it up yourself. October 18th, 1780, official congressional proclamation of a day of public thanksgiving and prayer. Again, all of this is in the National Archives in Washington, D.C., in the Library of Congress. It's public information. Anybody can look it up, but it's censored from your school American history books.
You know, by the way, one thing that I really like, I know Yale University has gone way south compared to its Christian origins, but they do have something called the Avalon Project of Yale University. And in the Avalon Project, they have online key documents that are important to Western civilization. By the time you get to the American founding and let's say even the American settling, you've got the key documents. So an example like that, we may be able to look that up. Did you say what would you refer people to? The Library of Congress?
Every single bit of this is in the Library of Congress and the National Archives in Washington, D.C. It's a matter of public record. Anybody can look this up. It's just, unfortunately, a lot of people don't know this information, and that's why I've done all of this research. I've compiled it. I put it together in my Top 10 Proofs, which, by the way, people can go to top10proofs.com if they want to check it out. I just want people to know what the actual true history of America is that most people just have no clue, because we've been sold this lie of the so-called separation of church and state. Our founding fathers did not believe in that, and it's not in the Constitution either.
Tell us just a little bit about your own personal background. You are a radio host, and so in interviewing people, let's say about America's Christian roots or something, that's where some of this developed out of that?
Curious. Yeah, it's been, I mean, I'm a researcher and a Christian apologist primarily. And so what I do is I just want to investigate what the facts and the evidence are to make sure that what we believe is actually really true and can be backed up. You know, as a Christian, I've said many times, my faith is not dependent upon logic and evidence, but it is backed up by logic and evidence. And I just want people to know that this separation of church and state nonsense is just that. It really is nonsense. Our founding fathers didn't believe in this so-called separation that we've been sold today. So, yeah, I want people to know the kind of things that they're not being told in the schools. You know, like, for example, let me just give you a presidential quote. Here's how presidents used to talk, but of course they don't talk this way today. Andrew Johnson, our 17th president, he took over after Abraham Lincoln. He said, quote, "Let us look forward to the time when we can take the flag of our country and nail it below the cross and exclaim, Christ first, our country next." Everybody's heard of Teddy Roosevelt, Theodore Roosevelt, but most people don't know that Teddy Roosevelt said what the best thing about him being president is that he's able to use his position to preach Christ to the world. He said, quote, My great joy and glory in occupying an exalted position in the nation is that I'm enabled to preach the practical moralities of the Bible to my fellow countrymen and to hold up Christ as the hope and savior of the world. I could honestly, Jerry, I could spend the next hour giving you quote after quote after quote from presidents that talked like this all the way back to the founding of our nation.
You know, that's interesting about the Teddy Roosevelt quote there, because he uses that phrase, the bully pulpit. The bully pulpit. I mean, you know, what's a pulpit? Well, that's where the gospel, theoretically, that's where the Bible is proclaimed, you know, in a church.
That's right. Well, and it's so true. By the way, George Washington, on May 12th, 1779, was speaking to the Delaware Indian chiefs who practiced their own spirituality, okay, their own religion. But here's what George Washington is documented to have said to them, quote, "You would do well to wish to learn our arts and ways of life, and above all, the religion of Jesus Christ. This will make you a greater and happier people than you are. Congress will do everything they can to assist you in this wise intention." This is the actual history of our country. By the way, the Northwest Ordinance of 1789, it stated that any territory that wanted to become a state had to teach knowledge, morality, and religion. And of course, the religion was Christianity in the schools. That had to be taught. Christianity had to be taught in the schools, or you were denied statehood. And if anybody wants to look it up and check my facts, it's the Northwest Ordinance of 1789, Section 14, Article 3. It passed the House. It passed the Senate. It was signed into law by President George Washington, August 7, 1789. You're never going to read this stuff, Jerry, in school American history books, but it is the actual history of this country.
And you're not necessarily going to read it in some of the museums of today. For example, at the U.S. Capitol, they have the Visitor Center that was built about 10 years ago. And part of it was to kind of keep the unwashed masses from coming into the rotunda of the Capitol. Remember Harry Reid and so forth. But But here's an example. I remember when I first looked into it, it was kind of it was secularized, to be, you know, quite blunt. In fact, there was a congressman that held up the opening of it because he knew the truth. They said in that Capitol Visitor Center, America's motto is E Pluribus Unum, out of the many one. But in reality, the national motto is In God We Trust. And it's been that since 1956.
That's right.
So they literally had to, because one of the courageous congressmen held up the funding of the opening until they corrected that error. But here's why I'm mentioning this. In that museum, they had in tiny little letters, you know, with the cursive, like the original, like a facsimile of the original Northwest Ordinance, you could see, you really couldn't see the statements you had mentioned, you know, believing that religion, morality, and knowledge are necessary for good government and the happiness of mankind, schools and the means of education shall forever be encouraged. You couldn't
right.
see those words, and in fact, it said nothing about the importance of Christianity in the schools. We have about 1 minute left to whatever you want to say about top 10 proofs for America's Christian heritage.
Sure. Well, if people would like to get these top 10 proofs, again, you could just go to the website, top10proofs.com. That's top10proofs.com. You can get them in physical CDs, or you can get them in MP3 digital download, either one. Which, by the way, I'm running a sale right now. They're all 25% off. Yeah. So they can check out the ones on America's Christian Heritage or any of the other topics that defend the faith as Christians and give the actual documented evidence to prove what we believe as Christians is true. And certainly when it comes to America's Christian heritage, we just want people to know that America really truly does have a Christian heritage. This is what we were founded upon, and not the kind of left-wing secular separation of church and state kind of belief. It's just not true. Even the Constitution itself is signed September 17th in the year of our Lord, 1787.
Bob, we're out of time.
One of my debates with the ACLU, they tried to deny that.
Oh, my goodness. Bob Dutko, top10proofs.com. Thanks, Bob. All the best.
You bet. Thanks, Jerry.